Welcome to Unlock BetterHealth's Get Fit, Get Healthy 6-Week Jumpstart. This is module number 1, Shedding It, which is a weight loss management home study program. Before we begin, I want to take just a couple of minutes to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Cindy Santa Anna, and as a certified health coach, I help busy clients solve their biggest problems around their health without giving up the occasional pizza night or sweet treat. My strategies are sustainable, and they will bring you a lifetime of benefits. My coaching approach is never about restriction or denial. The key to making dietary and lifestyle changes that can last for a lifetime is to understand how these positive changes can be integrated into our lifestyle and our circumstances, so they're working for us, not the other way around. I am finally at my happy weight, but I wasn't always there. I slowly became 50 pounds overweight after becoming a stay-at-home mom and years of eating the standard American diet. My turning point came 3 years ago when I couldn't make it through the day without a nap, and I was often sick with colds and bronchitis. But once I started using these principles that I will outline today, the weight came off, the inflammation, the headaches, and the lethargy, and the sicknesses went away. Now I wake up with tons of energy, ready to start my day, and I look forward to my workouts. So that's my story, and I'm honored to share it with you. I want to quickly tell you the reason why I am creating this program. I have encountered many clients who experienced frustration around weight loss before they came to me. Some eat relatively well and they exercise religiously. Some have tried different diet protocols that are just too restrictive, or they simply don't work with their lives. Somehow they can't seem to shake off those pounds. They're frustrated and they're at a loss. So I thought, how about we just put an end to it by using a sensible approach that works for their lives, not the other way around? So I created Shedding It, this weight loss program in which I share with my clients what I have learned over the years of being on and off the weight loss train. And now I'm sharing this information with you in this home study program so that your life will not ever be bogged down by weight management, and the physical impact and emotional distress that comes with dieting. You will start transforming your relationship with food, you'll love every bite you eat, and enjoy your life to the fullest by looking good and feeling great. You will learn all my strategies and tips on how to release weight without obsessing about every bite and without having to count calories. Besides a lot of great information and action steps, you'll also get some tips to help you deal with mindset issues, which may be holding you back from reaching your goals or sustaining success. Along with the audio, you will be provided with handouts and recipes that are relevant to the topics that we discuss. These are designed to give you the tools so that you can implement what you learn and take action right away. Now, you can do this program at your own pace, but I highly recommend that you set a date for accomplishing your goals and have someone hold you accountable, like me, your health coach. Or tell a friend about your plan, or even put it out there on Facebook and Twitter. Jumping in with both feet is really the best way to motivate your effort. In this program, I will tell you why diets don't work and the dangers of following a restrictive diet. The top 10 reasons why we are an overweight nation, and how you can avoid the same trap so many Americans fall prey to. You will learn all about the strategies I use for my signature system that will help you lose weight effortlessly. Now, please take a moment to visualize what your life will be like when you finally release the excess weight. Will you have more self-esteem? Would you feel great and have the confidence to do the things that you've wanted to do? What would those things be? Ask yourself the bigger why until you get to what really moves you. And also, you want to take stock of what is holding you back. Journal about your challenges and explore your obstacles. Get to the bottom of it. It's time to stop hiding behind your excuses and take action to live your life to the fullest. So the first step to making changes is to be aware of the problem. To cultivate awareness, I highly recommend that you keep a food journal to observe your dietary habits. Instead of judging, simply be a curious observer and try to understand what you eat and how you eat. For example, are you distracted by the TV or are you savoring every delicious bite? Be aware of the environment in which you eat and if emotion is driving your behavior. This mindfulness will help you build the awareness you need to bring about changes. Now is the chance for you to get a handle on what you eat and drink so that you can take control of how you feel and think. So why don't diets work? Well, I have a little bit of experience with dieting, and what I learned is simply that diets don't work. Let me tell you why. Most people who diet will gain their weight back, and perhaps even more. And the weight fluctuation created by yo-yo dieting is actually more harmful to your health than just staying overweight. Diets are not sustainable. They're alienating, they're stressful, depressing, and very restrictive. Most people can stick to a certain protocol for a while, but most of them have requirements that just make them too hard to sustain in the real world, where we all have different things to juggle in our personal life, our career, and our family responsibilities. Diets don't take into account bio-individuality. That's the idea that every body is different, or how the body metabolizes nutrients and how each individual has a different lifestyle that may or may not fit well with the rigid requirements of a dietary protocol. And, diets are expensive. Most diets require participants to buy special foods or prepared meals. And on top of that, if you rely on prepared meals in order to know what you can eat, is this method sustainable? Do you know what you can eat when you go to eat out or when you're visiting friends and family? Sometimes these protocols require supplements because certain foods are eliminated, thereby stripping the diet from certain nutrients. Supplements can be expensive. Moreover, there is no telling whether the body is actually utilizing the nutrients in the supplements. And if the supplements are not in bioavailable forms that are not optimized for absorption, they will just pass out of the body and are practically useless. And some supplements require a carrier, meaning they can't work well without another. For example, vitamin D requires you take it with a fat for better absorption. And last but not least, some serial dieters keep trying different programs and still hold on to their weight, not because of the design of the programs or the theories behind the protocols. Most diets fail to address some underlying mindset issues that are holding people back from creating lasting positive changes. These can include the fear of failure or the fear of success and self-sabotaging, to name just a few. Until we get into what is holding someone back from implementing changes and creating success on the deepest level, we cannot make changes that are effective and come with ease. Excuse me. So diets are not only unsustainable and expensive, some of the more restrictive protocols can actually be dangerous to your long-term health. You may lose a dramatic amount of weight over a very short period of time, but you can also be throwing your body off its balance and creating systemic damage to various organs. And these programs can lead to nutrient deficiency, which is one of the main causes of cravings, which of course can lead to binging and then weight gain. There are also many diets that are based on the idea of calories in versus calories out. Of course, you cannot constantly take in a greater deal of calories than you burn and expect to lose weight. However, this approach has its problem too. If calorie intake is restricted, the body will slow down metabolism. And when the diet program is over and food intake is brought back to normal, the body is not burning as many calories. The dieter will gain the weight back just by eating the normal amount of food. Restricted calorie intake affects metabolism and can have an impact on thyroid function and can potentially lead to hypothyroidism. When the thyroid level is low, our metabolism gets downregulated, and a lower metabolism eventually leads to weight gain. On the other hand, a balanced lifestyle that includes a variety of wholesome foods is sustainable and the best way to combat cravings. A few dietary and lifestyle changes can lead to pleasurable and effortless weight loss that can bring you a lifetime of benefits. And this is what I want to share with you in this program today. If you are overweight, your risk of getting type 2 diabetes, heart disease, certain types of cancer, sleep apnea, osteoarthritis, gallbladder disease, fatty liver disease, and pregnancy complications all increase. America has a weight problem. Today, 38 states have obesity rates over 25%. If we can understand the reason behind this problem, we can prevent ourselves from falling into the same trap. I'm going to share with you some of the top 10 causes of our nation's weight problems and you can see if you're falling into any of these traps. So number one is too much processed foods. Yes, they are cheap and convenient, but they are also full of sodium and sugar and chemicals that our body doesn't know how to process and empty calories. When your body doesn't get the nutrients it needs, it will crave more food. Number two, a low intake of fresh whole foods. They are nutrient dense, and when your body gets the necessary nutrients, you're going to have less cravings. They also contain many micronutrients and phytochemicals that help us balance our body and regulate our systems, some of which are related to our metabolism. So on the first two points, I want you to start adding wholesome foods into your diet. Fresh fruits and vegetables, as well as whole grains, like quinoa and wild rice. The less processed they are, the better. You should be able to recognize the original form of the food. Eat colorful vegetables steamed, sautéed, or even better, some raw. About half of your food should come from this category. By adding in wholesome fresh food, you will automatically be crowding out the packaged processed food. Your stomach will fill up faster with nutrient-dense foods, yet it doesn't fill and requires more food when you eat chips and refined foods and sugary treats. Excuse me. Now, number three, a sedentary lifestyle. Many people are taking in more than they burn. Besides burning calories while we are doing the activity, movement and exercise also help boost our resting metabolic rate. Excuse me. And that affects how our body stores and utilizes fat. I want you to get away from the mantra that you have to trade food for exercise, because that does not work. Scientists have discovered that a calorie from one food is actually metabolized differently than a calorie from another. And everybody is different as well. You don't have to own a gym membership or a fancy bike or even a yoga mat to get started. For those who are not active or hate the idea of sweaty, exertive exercises, just think of what kind of movement makes your body feel good. When I was overweight, I was intimidated by the gym. So I created a mini gym in my home. It's in my basement where it's nice and cool, and I could work out, I could dance, I can be silly, and nobody can see me. I can wake up and wear whatever I want and my hair and makeup not done, and I just made it fun. I actually started out using exercise videos with a kettlebell. It was a 20-minute workout, and it worked all my major muscle groups at once. Then I started riding a stationary bike that I bought from Craigslist for $70. So Just make it fun. Do whatever you enjoy. My number one jumpstart secret to weight loss is this. Grab your pens. You have to exercise at least 30 minutes a day, preferably first thing in the morning on an empty or almost empty stomach. The key here is to burn the fat stores and not the glycogen from something you just ate. You can have, say, 10 grams of protein before you exercise if you're prone to any health issues, but you don't want to eat any carbs or sugar before or after your workout, or you will negate what you just did. The best news is that the exercise doesn't need to be at a super high intensity. It can just be a nice 30-minute 2-mile walk, a yoga session, or a 30 minutes on a bike, or a fun class, or dancing. Just dance on the Wii, you know, with your kids. But it's best to do it 30 minutes in the morning on an empty stomach. Now, if you want to lose weight quicker, another secret is to do high-intensity interval training. This is where you'll go fast for 30 seconds, then slow down a little bit, then go fast again, and then slow. The thought behind this is the gas in the car connection. So when you drive down the highway at a steady, constant rate, you're conserving gas in your vehicle, right? But when you're heavy on the pedal and you're off and on with the gas on your car, you burn more fuel. The same goes with your body. You will burn more fat when you exert more energy with those intervals. Now, strength training is also the best fat burner. That's how come I lost so much weight after about 20 or 30 pounds. I started adding strength training because a pound of muscle can burn around 50 calories a day, while a pound of fat only burns 2 calories a day. So it helps to build lean muscle tissue. It keeps your body strong, it raises your metabolism, and the more muscle you have, the more calories you'll burn all day long. So your homework this week is to start exercising first thing in the morning on an empty or almost empty stomach. Now the first time will be the hardest, but then it'll get easier and you'll look forward to that boost of energy that you get later in the day. If it's a nice day out, walk around the block for 30 minutes after getting the kids off to school instead of sitting down for coffee, or meet a friend for a walk in the park, play catch with your kids, take your dog for a long walk, tend to your garden. All of these are movements that are beneficial for your body. But it's best if the movement is done on an empty stomach. Now, you don't want to destroy your efforts, so I recommend you eat protein after you work out. I rotate between a protein powder smoothie or a 2-egg spinach omelet and a bowl of steel-cut oatmeal with some superfoods mixed in. More info on those food items are included in the handouts. But the basics of my weight loss program are these principles. You need to eat half your desired body weight in grams of quality protein, such as a whey protein or chicken, eggs, or legumes. This means if you want to weigh 140 pounds, you'd strive for 70 grams of protein per day. The next tool is to eat no more than 20 grams of sugar per day, including fruit grams, and I've included a handout on counts for fruits on the download page. Now, one latte can have 5 times that amount of sugar, so you need to be careful where you are in weight loss mode. I like to use my 20 grams on dark chocolate and berries. The next tool is less than 100 grams of carbs per day from grains like wheat and rice or starchy vegetable like potatoes. That's basically less than 5 servings a day. Now, these are the levers that you can pull to encourage weight loss or weight maintenance. It's up to you to find what works best for your body, but eating in this manner will contribute to weight loss. Number four, supersized portions. The larger the portion in front of us, the more we eat. To eliminate the problem of supersized portion, the best bet is to eat a home-cooked meal. However, if you have to eat out, don't get tempted by the quote-unquote better deal. Think about the hidden cost of those supersized portions, and you'll realize that it's not worth it. Even normal portions can be very big in some restaurants. Share a dish with a friend, or order an appetizer as a main course, or ask the server to put half on the plate and the other in a to-go bag before it even hits the table. Number five, supersized dishware. So our plates have become larger and larger, and we tend to fill our plates with all that with food. Take up all that space. Our perception of portion size apparently is affected by the size of the plate. So we're eating more than we used to, while our food seems to be getting more calorie dense and we're moving less than ever. So first downsize your dishware at home. You can also eat with a salad plate instead of a dinner plate. That's one of the tricks that I use often, is I use a small plate for my dinner. Fill half the plate with a non-starchy vegetable, a quarter with whole grains or starchy vegetables, and a quarter with a high quality protein. Then add good fat sparingly. So we're now eating two vegetables with our dinner, along with a 4-ounce portion of a lean protein, or even a smaller amount of whole grains like quinoa. And this is the way that we have been eating for years now. Excuse me. So sorry. You may need to go for seconds when eating with a salad plate, and that's okay. But before you go for that second round, take a few minutes and get in touch with your body and feel if you are still hungry. By having to consciously add more food to your plate, you are cultivating the awareness and making sure that you only eat when you're hungry. Another good tip is to chew and then chew more. Digestion starts in our mouths, and our food needs to be broken down into the smallest pieces for the best digestion. I've added a handout on the benefits of chewing as well to the downloads page. So number six, advertising and marketing. Big corporations throw a lot of marketing money towards processed foods, which are high in calories and low in nutrients. These messages are strategically created and placed in the media to entice people to buy and eat more to benefit the corporation's bottom line, not your waistline. The kale is sitting quietly in the produce aisle with no big marketing campaign telling you to buy it. But I am. Number seven, misinformation and disinformation. People are confused about what to eat. Unfortunately, the labels on processed and packaged foods are not always telling the whole story. Marketing companies take advantage of the loopholes in labeling laws and position foods that contain a lot of sugar and high fructose corn syrup, partially hydrogenated oils, and the other kinds of chemicals as healthy. The best way to avoid falling prey to such label teas, of course, is to avoid packaged and processed foods as much as possible. If you have to buy packaged foods, read the ingredient label carefully. I often avoid boxes that contain more than 5 ingredients and never pick up those that start their nutrition labels with sugar as the first ingredient, because that's the most ingredient, the first one. 3 ingredients you want to avoid are high fructose corn syrup, partially hydrogenated oils, which are your trans fats, and MSG. These nasty chemicals can cause an array of health problems. So let's start with enemy number one, high fructose corn syrup. It's everywhere. You'll find it in bread and rolls and soft drinks and ketchup and low-fat mayo and cereal bars and Pop-Tarts and granola bars, ice cream, and even cough syrup. But this ingredient is causing so much damage to our bodies. The first thing it does is raises our triglyceride levels in our blood, causing high cholesterol. When I eliminated high fructose corn syrup from my diet, my triglyceride levels completely dropped. They were in the triple digits, and they went all the way down to very, very normal healthy levels. Secondly, our body doesn't know what to do with this foreign agent, so it stores it in our fat cells. And then our fat cells expand and get larger and larger. And lastly, high fructose corn syrup has this ability to turn off a mechanism in our brain that tells us when we are full. So you keep eating and eating more and more of those calorie-laden foods, which is exactly what those companies want us to do. Once we stop buying the foods containing this ingredient, manufacturers will stop making it. I read every label of every food product that I buy, and if it contains high fructose corn syrup, it goes back on the shelf. Even if it's something that it's my children's absolute favorite, we just don't buy it anymore. It can be hard to find alternatives sometimes, especially with hot dog and hamburger buns, because it's in almost every brand, but you just have to keep looking, turn those packages over, and read those labels. The next ingredient to look for are trans fats. Now, you may even see on the front of the label on the box where it'll say zero trans fats, but if the ingredient label contains the words partially hydrogenated oil, then it does in fact contain trans fats. That's because these manufacturers are skirting around a labeling law that allows them to claim no trans fats if their product contains less than half a gram of trans fat per serving. And that's simply just not right. But if you're informed, you can avoid this food trap. Trans fats are what cause heart disease, obesity, and a myriad of health disorders. The less we have, the better your health and your waistline. Next up is MSG, or monosodium glutamate. This is a neurotoxin, which is used as a fermented flavor enhancer and can be found in a lot of processed foods, Mexican foods, bouillon, Asian foods, Doritos, fast foods like Chick-fil-A has them in their sandwiches and their chicken nuggets, and canned soup. You may see the words hydrolyzed vegetable protein, which is also another form of MSG. Most people get a headache or nausea or weakness, but others have stronger reactions like migraines, asthma, chest pain, and even shortness of breath. A study published in the 2008 Journal of Obesity indicated that MSG intake may be associated with an increased risk of being overweight. So now, number eight, the cost of food. Processed, mass-produced foods and foods made with subsidized crops, like corn, are cheaper than fresh produce and other sustainably grown whole foods. Just think about high fructose corn syrup. It's in a lot of our foods, even savory ones. It comes from corn, a subsidized, genetically modified crop, and is found to be one of the main causes of our weight and health problem in the U.S. And I understand that the cost of food can be a big hurdle for some, especially in this economy. I often find that buying local seasonal vegetables at the farmer's market is the best bet. Seasonal veggies that are available in abundance are often cheaper, and coming from local farms means that lower transportation cost is reflected in the price. If you want to search for a farm or a market near you, a good website to look at is localharvest.org. That's localharvest.org. And you can punch in your zip code and find a farmer's market close to you. Buying in bulk is another great idea. I love the bulk food section at Whole Foods. The grains and the beans in particular are reasonably priced, and they are mostly organic. I started buying rolled oats from the bulk bin, and I can get twice as much for the same price as a container of oats. And it just contains 100% rolled oats, nothing else. Number 9 is time management. Now, most people are always on the go. They eat while they're doing other things, and this mindless eating often makes people overweight. Many people don't have the time to cook, and they depend on fast food and takeout or dining out. Most of the time, such foods are loaded with bad fats, rancid oils like soybean oil, canola and corn, and sugar and sodium and hidden calories. So make a rule for yourself. Whatever works for you that will prevent you from mindless eating while doing other things is the best. You can keep a food journal to cultivate mindfulness. Set a rule that you won't eat in your car, or that you will put food into a bowl before you eat it and not out of a bag. Number 10 is stress. When we are stressed, our bodies produce the stress hormone cortisol, which packs a triple whammy. Cortisol slows our metabolism, affects blood sugar level, and increases fat storage and promotes cravings for fatty, salty, and sugary foods. This is a big topic, and I will cover this in my 3 steps to effortless weight loss in the next section. But here's one more big tip. Don't eat 3 hours before bedtime. This will lower your blood sugar during sleep and help minimize damage from too much sugar floating around. Additionally, it will jumpstart the glycogen depletion process so that you can shift from being a sugar burning mode into fat burning mode. Plus, you'll sleep a whole lot better. So I want to conclude this segment with a mindset tip and share with you what I call the 90-10 rule. You want to eat well and healthy 90% of the time and let yourself indulge without guilt 10% of the time. So don't beat yourself up if you slip. This kind of guilt and self-blame doesn't help you stay on course. Deprivation is not a sustainable way to make changes that last. You may be able to go cold turkey on your favorite food for 2 weeks, but what happens after your quote-unquote diet? Most people will probably binge or feel bad and then give up. Allowing yourself to eat what you love and possibly finding a healthier substitute to satisfy your taste buds is how you can make healthy changes that will bring you benefits for a long time to come. An example of that is me and my love for chocolate. I did not want to give up chocolate, and I don't. I don't eat dairy anymore, so I don't buy milk chocolate, but I buy dark chocolate bars that are 70% or more of chocolate, and they're so rich you can only eat one little square, and that's my dessert after dinner every night, is my little bit of chocolate. So to sum up what we discussed in this segment, we talked about setting intentions and goals and the importance of cultivating awareness. You can keep a journal to help you get started. We discussed the reasons why diets don't work and the dangers of restrictive diets. We then looked at the reasons behind America's weight problem, and I shared with you a mindset tip to help you start taking action. Exercise on an empty stomach first thing in the morning for 30 minutes, and do intervals if you want faster results, and strength training for a fat burning effect. Eat more protein, 100 grams of carbs or less per day, and no more than 20 grams of sugar per day. And then read those labels. Try to steer away from packaged foods containing high fructose corn syrup, partially hydrogenated oils, and chemicals like MSG and other preservatives like BHT, nitrates, and artificial colors. In the next segment, we're going to look at 3 steps in my Shedding It weight loss system for effortless weight loss. These three steps are based on my signature system that addresses weight release way beyond food and calories. They take away the frustrations and restrictions that are so typical of traditional dieting. My experience is that so many people who are struggling with weight know exactly what foods are good for them and what they should not be eating. They're relatively healthy and they exercise religiously. They're frustrated because they're doing the right things, but they plateaued and then they're frustrated. If this sounds like your experience, this system addresses the missing pieces that are exactly what you need to achieve your goal. Here are three guiding principles that I'm going to share with you today. Number one is beat cravings. Cravings can be a way that your body is telling you something. Honor your cravings by getting to the root cause of it and find out what your body really needs. Most people battle with sugar cravings and addiction. Next week's home study module called Taming the Sugar Shrew will tell you about how to kick your sugar habit. It's a big topic, so I'm going to share with you a few tips here to get you started. Eating foods that throw our body out of balance can create a craving for sugar. It's very helpful to look at this idea under the lens of the yin-yang balance. This concept is grounded in how the energetics of food is regarded in Oriental medicine. We can put all our foods along the yin-yang spectrum. Yin foods are ones that are cool and expanding in nature, while yang foods are the ones that are hot or warm or contracting in nature. Cool and warm in this context have nothing to do with the temperature of the foods that are served. When we eat too many yang foods, such as red meat, salt, and eggs, our body will want yin foods to restore the balance. Now, sugar and alcohol are extreme yin foods that our bodies will usually crave. Now, armed with this knowledge, you can reduce your sugar cravings by eating less extreme yang foods, and instead, choose foods that are more neutral on the spectrum, such as whole grains, fish, sea vegetables, beans, root vegetables, and winter squash. Cravings for sugar, or refined carbohydrates can happen when our body needs a quick energy fix. Since needing quick energy is a major reason for many people to reach out for sugar, I'm going to show you my three principles and a few tips on how to boost your energy so that you're less tempted to go for the candy jar. When I work with my clients on increasing their energy, I use these three principles. Number one, create sustained energy, and then nourish and strengthen the nervous system. And number three, reduce the body's toxic load. So to create sustained energy, you need to eat meals that are low in the glycemic load. To create a meal of low glycemic load, you want to start with whole, unprocessed foods such as whole grains, vegetables, and beans. These are high in fiber, which is particularly important because it moderates the speed at which the sugar is absorbed by the body. Also, you want to make sure you include a moderate amount of good fat and lean protein to slow down absorption and increase your satisfaction. So what does that mean, good fats? I'm talking about coconut oil, extra virgin olive oil, maybe a little bit of grapeseed or nut oils. Macadamia nut and avocado are really good. Cold water fatty fish like wild Alaskan salmon, flaxseed oil, raw nuts, and chia seeds. I'd like you to toss out any vegetable oil you own. These oils are most often 100% soybean or corn or canola oil, which is a genetically modified crop in the United States, all three of those, corn, soybean, and canola, as well as being high in omega-6 sixes, which are bad for your heart. And these oils can go rancid very quickly and cause a lot of inflammation in your body. You'll also want to slowly decrease your consumption of coffee and caffeinated beverages, which oftentimes increase your sugar cravings by creating blood sugar fluctuations and exacerbating mood swings. So you can explore some coffee alternatives that contain less caffeine and are less likely to cause jitters. Some examples are black tea, green tea, white tea, rooibos, which is also known as African red bush tea, and all of those are even sold at Starbucks for those of you with a little bit of a habit break. I'm going to skim over the part on nourishing the nervous system because we're going to touch upon that when we talk about stress management later in this segment. Now let's talk a little bit about toxic load. What does your toxic load have to do with energy? Well, quite a bit. Our body needs to spend energy to detoxify and process the environmental toxins that we put into our bodies, be it from our foods, from the water we drink, the air we breathe, the products we use, the chemicals that we use. When your body diverts the energy to processing these toxic substances, less energy will be available to do the things that matter, such as for focusing on your work or doing physical activities or spending quality time with your friends and family. Now, detoxing is a huge topic in and of itself, and it definitely deserves its own program. So we'll discuss toxins in detail in module number 6, Knocking Your Tox Off. But to reduce your toxic load, you can try foods and herbs to support your liver and kidney and colon detoxing. Some examples are milk thistle, dandelion root, and yellow dock. But when you can't find those, drink a glass of warm water with the juice of half a lemon first thing in the morning. This is an easy way to support your liver health and daily detoxing. I do this every morning when I get up, and it's a great way to balance your pH levels, do a little liver detox, and it kind of gets things moving in a normal way every day. You can also buy and eat organic foods as much as possible to reduce exposure to pesticides and herbicides. Pay close attention to the ingredients of the personal and household products that you use as well. Now, cravings can be a sign of nutrient deficiency. Cravings for different flavors or textures can translate to a lack of various nutrients. For example, sugar cravings can be our body's way of telling us that we need certain nutrients besides protein. These nutrients include chromium, carbon, phosphorus, sulfur, and the amino acid tryptophan. I work with my clients on an individual basis to pinpoint what nutrients their bodies may be craving and work on adding in foods that are rich in those nutrients. I am including in your package a handout on the relationship between the flavor or food you crave and the possible nutrient deficiency. Very interesting information. Cravings can also be caused by dehydration. Our body often misinterprets the sensation of thirst as hunger. So the next time you feel a craving coming on, drink a glass of water and wait 15 minutes and then see if you're still hungry. Cravings can be an indication of food allergies. Some people crave foods that they're allergic to. You can do an allergy test at a doctor's office to find out, but they're not necessarily the most accurate. The best way is to do an elimination diet over the course of a few weeks, during which you eliminate the suspected foods and then slowly add them back into your diet and observe your reactions. Cravings can also be caused by non-physiological factors such as boredom, loneliness, or the need for comfort. In this case, we have to look outside of food for nutrition and coping strategies. I work with my clients in my 3- and 6-month coaching programs to take them through all these strategies in detail. Working with me, I will help you find out what nutrients you may be missing, give you all the tips about eating less without any feelings of deprivation, and let you get to the root cause of your cravings so that you can get rid of the addiction to food without pain and suffering. And most important of all, as my private coaching client, I will be there with you every step of the way to give you support and a plan of action that is tailored to your needs and your individual circumstances. So number two, my second guiding principle is waste equals weight. The more toxic substances and metabolic waste that your body holds onto, the harder it is to release the weight. You retain weight when your body holds on to metabolic waste, fluid, and toxins. Your body retains fat to protect itself from fat-soluble toxins. And until you let the toxins go, your body will not release the fat. You want to help your body get the existing toxins out while reducing the amount of environmental toxins that you put into your body. Some toxins also affect our endocrine system, our hormonal balance, our thyroid function, and our metabolism. The human body is very intelligent. Many organs perform the function of detoxification and elimination. And the first step is simply to put less junk and toxic substances into your body so that your detox organs can free up bandwidth to deal with the toxins that have been accumulating in your body. Here are a few things that you can do right away. Buy organic produce as much as possible. Learn about the Dirty Dozen, which is a list of produce that are the most contaminated with chemicals such as pesticides and herbicides. You can visit the website EWG, that's G as in George, .org, the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, to get the latest list. But I've also included it in your handouts. You want to reduce and work toward eliminating processed and packaged food from your life. You can facilitate your body's elimination process, reduce fluid retention, and aid your body's natural detoxification process by eating cleansing foods such as berries and beets and leafy greens like collards and Swiss chard and kale. The first step is to detox regularly, usually once or twice a year. I have a spring and a fall detox program on my website that is full of soups and smoothies and tonics that don't leave you feeling hungry and can get you on the right path if that's something that you're interested in. So number three is stress management. So what does stress have to do with weight? Turns out, quite a bit. As we discussed earlier, when we're stressed, our body produces the stress hormone cortisol, which slows down your metabolism, affects your blood sugar level, interferes with insulin secretion, increases our fat storage, especially around our midsection, and promotes cravings for fatty, salty, and sugary foods. Plus, if you're stressed, you can't relax and get the rest you need, which further spikes production of cortisol and creates this vicious cycle. There are various herbs that you can take to nourish your nervous system, depending on whether or not you want to strengthen and restore or encourage calm and relaxation. So there's these items called adaptogens. They will adapt to what your body needs. And examples of those are ginseng, an herb called ashwagandha, holy basil, which you'll find in some herbal teas, or relaxing herbs such as chamomile, lemon balm, and oats. A cup of chamomile tea can go a long way in the evening to wind you down. Much better than a glass of wine. Excuse me. Calcium has a calming effect on the nervous system, so load up on calcium-rich foods such as leafy greens or even bone broth during dinner. Of course, avoid caffeinated beverages as much as you can and explore those coffee alternatives like the black and green tea or yerba mate. If you regularly suffer from anxiety, you may want to look into brain chemistry imbalance. Amino acid therapy can help balance your brain chemistry. This is something that you'll need to work with a qualified professional. And if you're interested, you can contact me for more information about that. Besides nutrition-based strategies, you can also try these relaxation techniques to help reduce stress. Meditation and breathing exercises. Dr. Andrew Weil has a few easy breathing techniques on his website, but my favorite is the 4-7-8. You breathe in through your nose for a count of 4. You hold it for a count of 7. And then you release through your mouth with your tongue touching the ridge right behind your front teeth for a count, for 8 counts. So it's breathe in for 4, hold for 7, exhale through your mouth for 8 counts. And you want to do this 3 times. Now this exercise gets more powerful the more you do it. And it's especially great before stressful events and perfect as you're going to bed. And sometimes if you have little kids and they wake up in the middle of the night, I can find it very difficult to get back to sleep sometimes. So I'll do this breathing, this 4-7-8 exercise, and after a couple of times, I'm done. I don't even know what happened, and I'm back asleep. Yoga is another great form of relaxation, great way to meditate as well. It helps release hormones that are conducive to relaxation. It's a great way to encourage some conscious, deep breathing. And those hip opening poses are particularly great for releasing stored stress and emotions. Now, very closely related to yoga is just stretching. If you can't get to a yoga class, just take the time to hold a stretch to help you slow down and refocus your energy, and take the time to breathe in your stretch and close your eyes. Forward bends, whether you're seated or standing, are very soothing for the nervous system. Right now, I want you to bend your head down and place your hands on the back of your head and just gently pull, but not hard, and just ease into it. And breathe. It's a great way to relax your neck. Exercise regularly, especially cardiovascular exercise. It releases endorphins, those feel-good hormones. It will take your mind off sugar, and most people report a decrease in food cravings and appetite a few hours post-workout. It can be as simple as taking a walk around the block for 15 or 30 minutes during your lunch break. Just start moving and build on that. And stop multitasking. Focusing on one thing at a time helps you become more efficient and more focused. For me, at least, scatterbrain creates inefficiency, and that can lead to stress. And next is journaling. Set aside a few minutes in the morning to just jot down your thoughts. Set an intention for the day. You know, what do you plan on doing? Or write about what you're grateful for. Or set a couple of goals. And write down what you're going to do to take care of yourself. And have fun. You can do the same thing in the evening. I like to write down things I'm grateful for or my accomplishments of that day and appreciate the magic, no matter how small, that happened to me or around me. Lastly, practice a bedtime ritual that helps you wind down. For example, turn off the TV, the computer, and your phone screens at least 30 minutes, best if it's an hour, before bedtime. The blue light from those electronic devices can interfere with your ability to relax and fall asleep. They actually trigger our brain and cause excitement. So have a cup of warm chamomile tea, or read a book or a magazine, or the handouts from this program, but make sure you print them out and you're not viewing them from the computer screen. Getting enough rest is critical to nourishing your nervous system. When we're sleep deprived, our body secretes the stress hormone cortisol, which prompts us to reach for those sweet foods. So we'll cover more stress management in greater detail in module number 5, so that'll come up in a few weeks. But before we move on to my bonus tips on how certain medical conditions are related to weight gain, I want to share with you one mindset tip. When you face challenges in adapting the dietary and lifestyle changes for weight management and wanting to just go back to the old familiar way of eating, ask yourself, what is costing you not to take action? And you need to go deep and think deeper than the immediate consequences. Keep asking, then what? For example, if you keep eating sugar, then you won't lose the extra weight. This means you'll be less confident about yourself. Maybe it means you won't get that promotion or that pay raise. It means you won't have the extra income to take that vacation you always dreamed of. Or maybe you won't get the peace of mind that knowing that your kids can attend a private school. Think of an example that resonates with your life, and then dig deep. So as I mentioned, there are certain medical conditions that are related to weight gain. If you have pounds that just won't go anywhere, you'll want to look into a few things that are medically related. Of course, a common example is low thyroid. The thyroid hormone is closely related to metabolism, and hypothyroidism or a low thyroid can mean a slow metabolism translating into fewer calories burned. Some women retain weight because of estrogen dominance. If you're suffering from PMS, your weight issue may be partly due to estrogen dominance. And men can be affected by too much estrogen as well. We are surrounded by chemicals that mimic estrogen in our bodies. And when you see a man that has that beer belly, that's not all poor diet. It's estrogen causing those bellies, making them look pregnant. Some medications can also lead to weight gain. That includes certain steroids, some antidepressants, anti-seizure medication, diabetes drugs, high blood pressure drugs, as well as certain heartburn drugs. Of course, for anything related to prescription medicine, make sure you discuss your condition with your doctor before making any decisions or changes. And lastly, food sensitivities can cause the body to retain up to 5 to 8 pounds of water very rapidly. An elimination diet with the guidance of a trained health professional is a good way to find out if food sensitivities are causing weight gain for you. Some of the usual suspects are gluten, dairy, and eggs. Egg white has a higher allergenic potential than egg yolk, and soy. Last but not least, I want to share with you this last piece of a mindset tip. And I think it's one of the most critical mindset changes that you need to make for changes to happen. Sometimes people say they want to achieve something. They sound very driven. They pay for all the coaches and the programs and the products and the equipment they can get their hands on, but they still cannot take the action to get where they want to be. There may be subconscious fear and mental blocks that are holding them back. If you've been trying to make changes to your diet and lifestyle, but are unable to make breakthroughs beyond a certain point, I invite you to dig deeper into what is holding you back. Maybe it's not just the matter of willpower at the present moment that is preventing you from succeeding. You have to do some work to see if any of your past experience is responsible for some limiting beliefs that are holding you back. I recommend the book called The Big Leap. It talks about the concept of upper limiting. Some people, when they achieve success, would do something to decrease their overall happiness or self-sabotage. They think that they do not deserve the joy. And again, this is deeply rooted in your belief system and your early experiences. So I encourage you to get the book if you want to dig deeper into that subject. Okay, so now we're at the end of this course. I want to assure you that you have more than enough information and knowledge to release the weight. However, No matter how much material you have listened to or how many pages of notes you've taken, health does not happen by osmosis. I urge you to find the right kind of support, be it with me, with another coach, a friend, or a family member, so that you can take meaningful action and make positive changes to your life. Well, this concludes your first module in our home study program, and I want to acknowledge you in taking action to improve your health and wellness. Please stay in touch and send me a note to let me know how you're doing in this program. I look forward to seeing you in our private Facebook group or on my Facebook page, Unlock Better Health. Take care and bye for now.